All right, so we are holding on pay on the day is a little bit past the middle of the on the line. We're getting funny, and that's where we're holding. Okay, so we learned yesterday about the case where you have a korban toida where a person made a tzmura of a toida. So the Torah tells us you're not allowed to make a tzmura. A person does, he's chayav malchus, but v'hoyahu tzmurasi yekodesh, the original animal and the one that he attempted to replace it with, both have kedusha. We said that both of them have to be brought to
the... Can you talk outside, please? Hello? Can you talk outside?
So we said that the second one has to be brought to the Torah as well. However, it doesn't come with lechem. Because we have sukkim that said over there that only the original Torah comes with lechem, not the tzmura or the chibur or whatever. Okay. So, Tani Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya's Torah b'raita. Suppose that the toida gets mixed up with a tzmura. So you have the original toida, you have the animal that you used as a tzmura for it. Now they got mixed up. You can't tell which is which. Now, if nothing further happened, no problem. You bring one with lechem, you bring the original one with lechem, you bring the other with tzmura without lechem, and you're good. But now, now the problem is one of them died. So like this, actually, what it would be, to be exact, even if you couldn't tell which one was which, even if none of them had died, it wouldn't be such a big deal. What you would do is you wouldn't be able to know which one is which. But what you would do is you would bring the two animals to the Azara, together with the 40 challahs, and you would make a tnai like this. If this one is the toda, then it's coming with the bread, and the other one is the tmura, and we'll offer it as a separate korban without bread, and vice versa. So the problem is here, one of them died, and made sa'achas nehen, chazer cha'en la chakon. So now there's nothing you can do with the other one. Because there's nothing you can do with the other one as far as being able to bring it. Which ultimately means...
The
tnai would work if both of them are alive. Here, one of them is dead, and you don't know whether the one that's dead is the tmura or not. So therefore, chaverta ain't la takana, so now the other one that's still alive, there's no takana, which means, practically speaking, it means that it's going to, it's not a chafas amesa. Well, okay, the Rambam writes that it'll have to be left to go out and graze until it develops some more. The Ravid actually argues on that and says there's no takana in that, but the Achronim argue what exactly does the Ravid mean by that. The Chacham Tzvi, for example, has a long shuvah about it, where he discusses it and has a hard time coming to any conclusion. What does the Ravid actually mean? Because what else are you going to do with it? So yeah, but the Chazan Ish, for example, I think says that, yeah, the Ravid apparently would mean that since leaving it to graze until it develops a mum is not a good enough solution, because ultimately, so what would you do with that? You'd still sell it and use the money, but what are you using the money for? So therefore, he might hold that you have to leave it to die, similar to the... Well, because you have the same problem. You don't know whether it's the original one, you don't know whether it's tomorrow. So you don't know whether it's going to be coming with lechem or not. So the Chazon Ish wants to say that the Ravid would argue that maybe it has to be left to die. It would be similar in that, vaguely similar in that sense, to a chatas amesa. Many of the other Achronim talk and disagree with that understanding of the Ravid. They say basically the Ravid would agree that you have to leave it to graze. He's just arguing with the Rambam what's going to be done with the money afterwards. Okay, anyway, the point is that ein lo takana, you can't do anything as far as being able to bring it to the curb. Why? Hefki nevid, because how should we do? Nakruz lechem bahada, should we say that we're going to offer the 40 breads together with this animal that's still alive? Can't. Dilma tmurahi, it might be the tmurah, and that one doesn't come with bread. Loy nakruz lechem bahada, and do you say that you're going to bring it without bread? Can't. Dilma toidahi, when it might be the original toidah. Because you got them mixed up, remember?
You don't know. If it's the original...
Then you need bread with it. If it's the tmurah, then you don't, so therefore, right. So, okay, so the Gemara asks, So the Gemara asks, however, Heichi Dabin. Okay, but what exactly is the scenario over here? Ida Amma Alai. Are we talking about where his original neder to bring the Torah was in the form of Hare Alai, that I am obligated to bring the Torah? Well, ultimately, he's going to have to bring a Torah at some point to be Yosef's neder. Loi Sanya, the Lei Maisele Behem Achrin of Alechem. So then, inevitably, he's going to anyway have to bring another animal. And he's going to have to bring lechem, the lechem that was there before, or new lechem, whatever, the lema, and then he's going to have to say, he has to time a tmurahi, if the original one, if the one that's there now, before I bring another animal, was originally the tmurah, her toyed of a whole lachma, then fine, I'm bringing a new animal, which will be the toyed together with a slachma, and then afterwards I'll offer this one as a smurah. He has to kind of toyed he, and vice versa. If the one that's still alive from the original tear is the toyed, her lachma, then I'll be bringing it together with the bread, the whole tevyachrayas, and then the new animal that I brought will be there as a backup. So then in that case, if we're talking about what he said, harei olai, then there's no problem. What do you mean, ein matakam? All you have to do is bring another animal and make it to tonight, and that second animal effectively stands in place of the first animal that died. So the answer is, loy tzricha, da'oma harei zu. You're right. But Reb Chiya's case, where he has to tell us the din, that ein matakam,
in other words, you would be okay.
If you had said harei olai, then you would be okay. The problem is, if he said harei zu, where again, harei zu means there's no achrayus, means that there's no, it has to be this one, but the point is, in other words, if it died or whatever, then there's no chiyuv of replacing it. And if you were to replace it, then we said yesterday, that's not considered a replacement, really. It's considered marga b'toida, that he's bringing a whole new toida. So therefore, it doesn't really work. To say the second half of the possibility would be if this one is the original, the second one is for achrayus. With harezu, there's no achrayus, there's no backup. So the Gemara is going to give us eight arguments that we use to argue that that Amoraim argued that you might have alternatives how you might go about fixing up the situation. Simim lemudim midas Allah shayish sheyesh shochen d'dama d'i cholosh moto tmora machod chizkiya hefesh chata v'acha yoysa. There's different, the girsa in these is not quite so clear, but basically what it's supposed to be is the first eight words are supposed to be key words, or the first eight words are supposed to be the names or the designations of Amoraim who brought up the arguments, and the second eight are meant to be the keywords for the actual arguments that they brought. All right. Anyway, so number one, Amru l'meidim l'fnei Rebbe. So number one, the Talmidim who learned in front of Rebbe asked as follows. Now Rashi Ksavyad says that Rashi.
Only the Ketari Zu.
Right. But now we're going to figure out, is there maybe some alternative? Why is Reb Chiya telling us, ein lachakana, that there's no way of fixing up the situation, being able to be machu, the one remaining one, on the face of it, we should have some way of being able to do it. So, Amru l'meidim l'fnei Rebbe. So the Talmidim who learned in front of Rebbe argued as follows. Rashi and Rashi Ksavyad both says that means Levi. Now, later on, we're going to have, at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to have one that Levi says to Rebbe. So therefore, the answer is that Rashi says, this one and also the next one are going to be ones that Levi said when the other Talmudim were present also, therefore we're calling it Lamed Dim, Lifnei Rebbe in the plural. And later on, Levi came up with one on his own when the other Talmudim weren't around. First, it says that no, Lamed Dim, Lifnei Rebbe is somebody else. Okay, anyway. So the Lamed Dim, Lifnei Rebbe, one of the Talmudim in front of Rebbe, asks as follows. What's the problem? The Laisi Lechem, why don't we say as follows? Bring bread, the Lema, and say as follows. Again, remember the scenario is, you weren't here when we just started the scenario. The scenario is you had an original toida, you had a tmura, they got mixed up, you can't tell which one is which, and now one of the animals died, and you don't know whether the one that's still alive is the original toida or the tmura. So do you bring it with bread or not? So why don't we do like this? V'leisi lachem, bring bread, v'leima, and then say as follows. If the animal that's still alive is the original toida, good, halachma, then here's the bread to go with it. The Eloi, and if not, Lefuk L'chulin. If not, then let's say that these 40 loaves of bread will become chulin. The owner will be paid to them, because I don't know if Dursha's a group yet until the animal is shafted. And therefore, that's it. Then the owner can eat them. So we can still treat them as if they were lachmei toida. We can have the koyanim eat four of them, and the owner eat the other 36, and they have to eat it within yom v'layla, etc.
But can a toida be served on a suffix?
On the face of it, why not? But the answer is. The answer is Amalahu. Rebbe says to them, you can't bring cholin into the azara. So what if exactly? So then you can't bring it. You can't bring in the bread and say if this isn't the real toda, then this bread should be cholin, right? Tosfos actually gets into a long discussion over here about the pros and cons of what exactly is involved in the din of bringing cholin into the azara. There are cases. Well, in other words, it's not so simple to say that just every time a person brings cholin into the azara, is there a problem? If a person is bringing it in for the sake of the avodah, For example, Tosfos brings examples. Let's say, for example, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Hillel would, when he was makdish a korban, he would bring it originally to the Azara as korban and be makdish it only after it's in the Azara, because that way he avoids the issue. He avoids any potential issues in the Ela. This way, there's no possibility that he accidentally uses it for his own. No, whatever. In Pesach, he's still also part of the Azara. No, Israel is also part of the Azara. No, so the answer is, so that's what Tosfos says, that, for example, if a person can do that, because there, when is there a problem bringing a chulin into the Azara when you're doing something with that chulin, like the Avodah, which is what you're doing over here, basically, because minasopik, you're treating them like the lachmei Torah, you're doing the tnufa with them, you're giving for them to the kohen, etc. So that's the point. In other words, so over here, you're trying to bring in the 40 loaves and say that it should be a suffix, that it should be cholin, or it should be kodshim, depending on the suffix. You can't do that. Okay. Next. Possibility number two. The lifey behem of a lech. And how about, here's another possibility. Let's bring another animal, aside from, again, you have the one animal left from the original pair. Now you bring another animal, the lechem, I mean, you bring bread also, the lame, and you say as follows. E has to kaima tmurahi. If the one that's still alive from the original pair is originally the tmura, ha toda v'ha lachma, then I'm bringing now a new animal for a toda and the bread with it. E has to kaima togahi. And you're going to say like this, if the one that's still alive is a toda, ha lachma, then good, the bread goes with the original one, v'ha, and the second animal that I just brought. Fine, you're going to argue it can't be achrayis, because we're talking about the original neder was harezu, and there's no achrayis for it. Fine, just say, v'ha tehevi shlomim. Just say, in that case, the second animal that I just brought now should be a shlomim. That should solve the problem. Amalahu, however, Debbie tells them it doesn't. Mishum to come in mayat v'achil of the shlomim. The problem with it is that you're reducing the amount of time that the shlomim can be eaten. A shlomim is normally able to be eaten on the day it's brought, then following night and the following day. And then after that, it becomes noiser. A toida is only one day and one night. Only the day it's brought and that night.
A shlomim is a night, is a day.
Right. That's the point. So therefore, in other words, so you're reducing the amount of time you're making that the kodshim are going to become kosel unnecessarily, because what if they don't finish it all in time?
Yeah.
So that doesn't work. Okay. Next. Third possibility. Amar Levi Levi. Third possibility, Levi himself, again, according to Rashi, Levi was also asking the previous two questions, but he was asking them in the presence of the other Bnei HaYeshiva. Now he's asking Rebbe one-on-one. Here's a third possibility, says Levi. The Laisi Behem of Alechem, let him bring another animal and more bread, the Lema, and say as follows. E hach the kaim of tmurahi, if the animal that's still alive is a tmurah, ha toda v'ha lachma, then go to bring a new animal and a toda and new bread to go with it. The e hai the kaim of todahi, and if the original animal that was left alive is the toda, ha lachma, then this bread goes together with that. The ha, and we will say the new animal that I just brought, having moiso de toda, is like the leftover of a toida. We learned yesterday that you have a situation called moiso toida, an example of it being, we said, when you have a pregnant animal that gave birth, we said that the baby is considered moiso toida, and we learned in the Brais on Ein Testament days, right after the Mishnah, that you do not bring bread with moiso toida. So in this case, you say to begin with that the second animal, if it's not necessary for the toida, because the other animal is already the toida, then this one should be moiser, and therefore it comes without lachem. Amalei, the Rebbe says to Levi a sharp expression, "Can the duma anisha ein le moach bekadkadoi?" It seems to me that he doesn't have brains in his head. Now, what? One second. But kadkadoi means his head. One second. Let me. Okay. No, kadkadoi means his head. Okay, the chima rishin tchilul moisro. After all, it's one thing if you have a moisro that came about. For example, you have a baby that was born, you have money that was left over where you intended to use X amount of money and it turned out you didn't need so much, or you lost the first one, et cetera. But to lahatchila, go and say that you're designating an animal to be moisro. You can't do that. Now, why? So that way it doesn't work. Now, how is Rebbe using such a sharp expression like that?
First of all, why would Rebbe suggest such a thing?
So Levi could have,
Levi
could have figured that given in this case, you have no other choice because you have to somehow fix up the situation and be macro with this animal. Maybe you could. And Rebbe tells him that you're not thinking it through. So that brings me to, so why is Rebbe using such a sharp expression? And by, no, thank, I have already. And you shouldn't think, by the way, you shouldn't think that Rebbe didn't hold highly of Levi. You actually have a story someplace else, I think it's in Yerushalmi, where Rebbe says about Levi that he's his own equal. You have a story over there where people... Rebbe says about Levi that... You have a story over there where the people... We know that you have a story someplace, I think it's in Yerushalmi, where people of a certain city ask Rebbe to send them somebody who can serve all of the ruchniyistic needs of their city, to be a rav and a moyel and a shofet and teach the children, etc. And Rebbe sends them Levi, and the whole story develops over there how Levi didn't know the answers to questions that they asked him. It turned out because they honored him so much that he had a shtickle gaiva and therefore he forgot his Torah. Anyway, in the course of the story, when the people complain to Rebbe, what kind of person did he send us? Rebbe says, I don't understand. The person I sent you is fully my equal. He should have known the answers to these questions that you asked him, and then he calls in Levi and asks him. So what is he saying over here? So the Chavos Yair has a fascinating tshuva on this and on many other places in Shas, where we find that Tanoim and Amoraim use sharp expressions like this and insulting expressions against each other. So you say different ones, there's different reasons. Sometimes it's their colleagues, their Haverim, and therefore it's like they're sort of joking around with each other. In this case, he says, the idea is you have a concept that Amman brings at Lahalacha, that if a Rebbe sees that his Talmidim are not paying attention and not applying themselves properly, Zroik Morav Talmidim, as the expression is in Ksuvas, you have to speak sharply to them and give it to them over the head and make them realize that they're not applying themselves. So that's what Rebbe is doing over here with Levi. He's saying, Levi, you have the potential to be able to think this through and to be able to, compared to the potential that you have, where again, to a certain degree, is the equivalent of Rebbe, you don't have the brain that you should have in your head because how can you think of such a thing? So it is a sharp statement, but it's based on the fact that he knows how much capability, how much potential Levi has, and therefore he's kind of disappointed that you're not living up to that by based on the question you just asked. Okay, so anyway, so that takes care of the third possibility. So far we have, you can't say that the bread should be kolim, because kolim bazara. You can't say the second one should be a shlomim, because you can't reduce the amount of time for it. You can't say it should be moister, because you can't designate an animal to begin with to be moister. Okay, so let's go on. Now we're going to try the fourth possibility. Yosef Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Mauta Kamedi Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Mauta is sitting in front of Rav Nachman as a Talmud. I don't know if it's one famous Mauta. Yeah, Mauta Bar Spices, the one in Gittin, the rich woman. The Pashtus is the later one. You have actually the Gemara mentioned. The Gemara mentioned in Sanhedrin that there were four brothers, Ivu, Chana, Shila, and Marta, where Ivu is the father of Rav, and then their half brother was Rabchia. So that might be this Marta, based on
the daughter of.
So I don't know if it's a he or a she. Actually, it could have been. I don't know. Ivu, Chana, Shila, or Marta, Kula Bnei Rabchia, Kula Bnei Rav Acha, by Salam Ikasi. Whatever. So it could be that Marta was a man's name. Could be that it was a woman, and because she was kosher, because she was from an important family, then her descendants are nisyachas after. I don't know. Whatever it is. Anyway, so he's sitting in front of Rav Nachman of the Talmud, the Yosef Bakama. He was sitting and saying as follows. Here are the fourth possibility. The Lysi behem of Alechem. Let's bring a new animal and bread. The Lema and the Tanai will be as follows. Again, ihach the kaim of tmurahi, if the one that's still alive is the tmura ha-tarda v'halachma, then good. Then this new one that I brought is going to be the new tarda, and it's going to be the bread. The ihach the kaim of tardahi, and if the original animal that's there is a tarda, then halachma, then the bread that I just brought will go with it. V'ha kehevi tmura. And then we can argue, the new animal that I just brought now will become a tmura of it. And we know before that the tmura of a tzniut. No, well, all of these were double tzniut. All of these had to be double tzniut. We didn't know. Remember, we don't know whether this animal that's still alive in the original pair is the tzniut or the tmura.
No.
Before we had every time so far we had two tzniut. If the original one is the tmura, then the new one, then the first one that we said is if the original one is the tzniut, then I'm bringing lechem with it, and if not, then it'll go out l'chol. The second one was a double tonight. The second one was if yes, if no. The second one was either this one is a Torah or this one will be a Shlomim.
Right.
The third one was either this one will be a Torah or this one will be Moshe Torah. Okay, but it's all, I don't see how it's any more double than the other one. If the other one was the if the other one is the Tmura, then this one is a Torah, and if not, then this one will be a Tmura. Then this new one that I brought will be a Tmura. It's the same basic structure. Saying that it's going to be, saying that it's going to be a Shlomim, saying that it's going to be Moiser, now saying that it's going to be Tmura, if necessary. Okay. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, Ani Mori, answer me, Rebbe. It's like I'm surprised at you. Also, I'm going to cast in the kosher. What do you think? The guy is high of 40 malchus because you're not allowed to make a Tmura. And it's a lav in the Torah. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yomiro, you see? The kosher, and you want to argue it should be kosher to do that
machila. He's not making it tonight.
He's making a tnai, but how can you make a tmura even on a tnai? It means that you're taking the chance that you're doing an iser daraisa, which is chayav malchus. How can you do that? None of the other ones involved that yet. The only one that we had an iser with so far would be the one where it was cholin. Well, that's why we rejected that one. The other one
rejected because of the azara, not because it was tnai.
Every one that we had so far was some kind of tnai. We rejected them, but each one involved some kind of tnai.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is also a tnai. The problem is the tnai is if it ends up that you need to make the new animal a tmura, the result is that you've done an iser daraisa, which is chayav malchus. Okay, maybe not. He won't actually be chayav malchus because they can't give him a surah vadai. They can only give him a surah suffix. Maybe fine, but the fact is it's still an iser daraisa. What lav was there in the previous cases? There was no lav. It's also to bring chulin ba'azara, but it's not malchus avoyim. It's also to reduce the amount of time for a shlomim, but it's not a lav that a person is chayav malchus for.
But if it's not a tmura, it's a shlomim, right?
In the second example, we said, for example, if the one that's still alive is the original toida, then the new animal that I'm bringing now is going to be a shlomim. In other words, I'm not saying I'm making a new tmura now. I'm saying I already made a tmura previously. Fine, I know I did wrong with that. But now we have a mix-up over here, and now what are we going to do? Can I take the new animal and say either the new animal is going to be the toida, or the new animal is going to be a shlomim? And he said you can't do that because Ein Mavi and Kodshim will base up soul, because you can't reduce the time. Here the argument is we're going to either make the new one is either going to be a toida, or it's going to be a tmura of a toida. The problem with that is that then you're possibly being over on the issue of making a tmura. So you can't do that. Now, what was Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Shmuel Bar Mauta thinking? So some of the Achronim explain that he might have figured like this. Now, you have, let's say, if the din is as follows. You can have, for example, you have an original animal, which was, let's say, a toida, and then you say, I want to do a tmura, I want to exchange it for this one. So It takes effect. It's an issur lav, and both of them now have kedusha. It's also possible to now say, in addition, I also want to make a tmura from this one to this one, and then from this one to this one, and it works even if you have 100 of them. However, Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Shmuel Bar Mauta may have figured that's true. Nevertheless, the person isn't necessarily going to be chayav malchus for the other one. He may have figured the person's maybe only chayav malchus for the original one that he tried doing, not for the ones that he does after that. But Rav Nachman tells him it still doesn't work. Okay. All right. Here comes possibility number five. Rav Ila Cholosh, Rav Ila was not feeling well. All the Gabe Abaye and Rabbanan, Abaye and the other Chachamim went to visit him, to be Mavaka Chola. And, as we find throughout Shas, they would always take the opportunity to talk and learning. This is why we have, the Gemara will often mention the background, the circumstances under which something was discussed to show us that at all times, even when they're busy, even you have a Gemara in Kedushin where Shmuel is about to board a ferry and he has one foot on the ferry and one foot on the ground, you have many, all kinds of different things in Shas where we see that they're always participating in learning. So they were sitting and saying as follows. Here's another possibility. If we hold that the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan, the Amma, where he said, we had a couple of days ago, a discussion, chutz l'choy masal zara kodesh, he said, we had a discussion over there, where does the bread have to be in order to be Kaddish when you shech the Torah? Does it have to be specifically inside the Azara? That was what the Shlokish held. Or can it be outside the Azara as long as it's within Beis Pagi? And we talked then what Beis Pagi is. Is it the walls of Yerushalayim? Is it someplace in the Har HaBayis? Whatever it is, anyway. So therefore, if we follow Rabbi Yechanan, and in fact the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan, that there's a 40 loaves, they're able to be outside the Azara, then we have a way out of it. Laisi lechem, then fine, we'll bring bread. Let's go back to the first answer that we said. We said we were going to bring bread and say that if the animal is a toida, then good, and if not, then this bread should be cholin. And Rabbi said that doesn't work because you can't bring cholin into the Azara. Fine, don't bring it into the Azara. Leave it outside the Azara. V'lois v'chutza, that's what we're saying. If the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. Well, we're bringing up a possibility. Why is Rav Chiya saying as a blanket statement it's impossible to do something when, if we have proof of that, then fine, but we don't have any proof that Rav Chiya...
It has to be this way.
Okay. Can we go through the discussion and see? Okay. So, if we hold of Rav Yechanan Din, the Amachot V'chayim HaZara Kaddish, where he says that the bread is able to become Kaddish with the Shechita of the Korban, even if it's outside the Azara, then we have a way out. Laisi lechem, let him bring bread. V'lois v'chutz v'chayim es azara. Leave it outside the wall of the azara, as long as it's within Beis Pagi. V'lema, and then he should say as follows. I hach t'kayim es toidi. If the animal that's still present from the original pair is a toida, ha lachma, then we have the bread, and it'll become kaddish once this animal is shechted, even though it's outside. Well, yes. The eloi, and if not, leipuk l'chodim, let it become cholin. So then in that case, we seem to have covered all our bases. Then if we bring it into, However, the Gemara says, Mishum de'ika arba lahonis. Okay, but the problem is, you do have four of those loaves, one of each type, that you have to wave together with the Torah. Now, you have to wave them together with the Torah, means inside the Azara. Means then, well, of necessity, because the toda itself has to remain in the azar, the chalev, at least, it's waved together with the chalev, it's waved together with the emurim of the korban, and those have to remain inside the azar. Rashi points out, by the way, also, the fact is, we said before that, we learned earlier in the Masechta that when it comes to the she'alechem, they're waved together with the kvasim that accompany them. Similarly, when it comes to these lachmei toda, they have to be waved together, they have to be on top of, the bread has to be on top of the pieces of the korban. So you can't say, for example, that we're going to wave the lechem outside the azara and wave the pieces of the toda inside the azara, because you can't do that. They have to be together.
But one second, now you could make when the lechem is outside and then bring the lechem in.
But if you can't bring the lechem in, if you don't know for sure that if you don't know for sure, it still might be cholin after all. The whole point of your tanai is that it might after all be cholin. So that's the problem. Hechilevet. So what are you supposed to do? Lufinu avroi. Should you wave them outside the azara? Can't. Lufnei Hashem. They have to be waved in front of Hashem, meaning in the azara. Gavoi. Are you going to bring them into the azara? Can't. Come ayo cholin azara. Again, you have the problem. They might after all be cholin because maybe it was. Yeah, it's a suffix. And you can't bring cholin into the azara even for a suffix. So that way it doesn't work either. Okay. Next. Mask is sort of shish. Yeah. That's the point. Another day. Okay. Next. Mask is sort of shisha bread of idi. Okay, let's try possibility number six. The shisha bread of idi asks like this. Im isil dechizkia. If we say, you can see how bothered. Well, that's true, yeah. Okay. In Isil de Chizkiya, if we hold of Chizkiya's din, the Omar, where we had a machloikus the other day between Rabbi Yochanan and we had a machloikus between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiya about the case, suppose a person to begin with brought 80 loaves of bread together with his toida, do we say that 40 out of the 80 of them become Kaddish? We said Rabbi Yochanan says that no, unless he explicitly says I only want 40 of them to be Kaddish. Chizkiya would hold that by default we would say only 40 out of the 80 become Kaddish. Not regardless what he says. He said in the Gemara over there that if he says I want it to be all or nothing, either all 80 or nothing, then Chizkiya is going to agree that it's nothing because you can't have 80. But we had a machlok, and conversely, Rabbi Yochanan would say that if he said explicitly, I want 40 of them to become Kaddish, then that works. The machlok would be, if he didn't say one way or the other, do we say that he meant Korban Gadol, that he thought, look, the Torah tells us 40, but I'm going to do better than that, I'm going to bring 80, and therefore he intends for all 80 to become Kaddish, and they don't. Or do we say that they bring the other 40 as a chrasis, basically. So if we hold like Chizkiyah, the Omer Kodshua Boy Mekel Shmoinim, where he says that you can have 40 out of the 80 become Kaddish, but it's
only 40 will become Kaddish,
but it was okay to bring the rest of them into the Azara. It's not Kolen Ba'Azara because you brought it, because we consider that the other 40 are there for Achrayus. Well, then we have another possibility. Laisi Behema, Laisi Shmoinim Ba'da, bring a new animal, bring 80 loaves of bread with it, the lema, and say as follows: E has to time a toga. If the animal alive from the original pair is the toga, ha nami to have a toga, then I'm making the new animal that I just brought will be a toga as well. Vaha shmonim the tavayu, and then good, we have 80 loaves of bread, 40 for each one. E has to time a smurahi, and if the one that's still alive is the tmura, and therefore it doesn't require any bread at all, then ha toga vaha lachma, then the new animal that I brought will be the toga. Out of these 80 loaves, 40 of them will become Kaddish. The lichtus shalahu abayim, 40 out of the 80 of them will become Kaddish. And the other ones will be for Achrayim, which is okay. You're allowed to bring ones for Achrayim into the Azara. Actually, Tosfos points out that on the face of it, the Gemara could have said that the Gemara could have also maybe made this work according to Rabbi Yochanan as well, because again, Rabbi Yochanan has said that if he explicitly says, I want only 40 out of the 80 to become Kaddish, then that's fine.
But in effect,
isn't that kind of what he's saying over here, that if the new animal is a Toda and the old one is not, the old one is a Tmura, then I want only 40 out of the 80 to become Kaddish. Okay, Tosfos distinguishes between... Tosfos distinguishes where you know that there are 40 that are chulin, and you want to argue whether they're achrayus or not. Versus over here, you don't know whether they're achrayus or not. So, in any case, according to Chizkiyah, this would work. Again, we don't have any reason to say that Rav Chiya does not agree with Chizkiyah, because in fact, you have to realize also the fact, and this applies to the previous one also. If we had any reason to think that Rav Chiya does not hold like Rav Yochanan in the previous thing, or like Chizkiyah in this one, it would have said so in the relevant service. Right. Okay. So why doesn't that work? The answer is Mishum Dekum Maifa Chilo Da'ar Boy. Yes, that's true. But the problem is, again, that you're reducing the amount of time that the 40 can be eaten. There's actually two different gear stories over here. 40 are boyin or 4 are ba. So what you the problem is like this. One way of looking at it is if you have the 80 loaves, let's follow what Rashi Ksav Yad says, which is after all the real Rashi, So, you have 80 loaves. That means, how many are you giving to the Kohen? 8. Because you have to give one out of every 10 to the Kohen.
10%.
Right. Now, so what happens is that the Kohenim, like any part of the Torah, it has to be eaten within a day and a night. Or it can only be eaten until Chatzos, or until the Lois HaShachar of that night. You gave him you might have given him twice as much as necessary, because maybe you really only need to give him 4.
Yeah.
You really don't have to give them 4. What if you don't have enough koyanim to eat them? Then it's going to become noiser. And what's happened? Meanwhile, they ate the 4, which might well have been chulin, and didn't have a chance to eat the 4 that were kodshim. So yeah. So you're reducing the amount of time for those 4. Another girsa is the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara is aboim, that you have the same problem. The owner may not be able to eat the 40 of them in time. Same problem.
You don't have enough time, or you have too much time?
No, you don't have enough time to be able to eat as many as you're supposed to, because you have to eat all 80. You, the owner, are going to have to eat 72 of them out of the 80. The Kohenim are going to have to eat 8. Yeah, and then you're not going to have enough time. So actually, Rashi, Miuchas Rashi on top, says that maybe it's not such a problem, the ones that the owner keeps, because after all, the owner, he can give them to whoever he wants to eat. But the ones that go to the Kohenim, only the Kohenim and their immediate families can eat them, so they may not have enough people to be able to eat it.
Not enough people
to eat 8 loaves. They may not. They might not.
Okay,
they might not. I mean, they might be able to find, but they might not. You're taking your chance that you might not find. Ein mavi and kodshim lebeis apsul. You're not allowed. Okay, there may be, but you can't. Okay, I don't know, but the point is, you may not find them. They may have other korbanos to eat. So it's one thing if you're bringing a korban the regular way. Okay, then you bring the korban the regular way. It's not your problem whether the korban can eat it in time. But here where you the whole thing you're bringing because of a suffix, then you can't do that. Okay. Also, Miyuchas Rashi points out another detail as well. Another part of Memayit Ba'achila is also the fact that now you have, if only 40 of them were Kaddish, then you're supposed to give 4 to the Kohen. Like this, you're having to give 8 to the Kohen. So it means those 4 loaves, potentially, what you're doing, not just that they're potentially Kohen, but potentially what you're doing is, you're making them, instead of the owner and his family and everybody else in Yerushalayim being able to eat them, now it's only Kohen who can eat those extra 4. So that's also Mamayat. Not so much that you're Mamayat the time, but you're Mamayat the number of people who can eat it. So for all those reasons, not going to work. Yeah. Okay. Next. Possibility number 7. Omelet of Ashi Rav Kahana. Im Issel Rav Yechonon. Okay. Let's take up another possibility. If we hold of another din of Rav Yechonon, the Omar, where Rav Yechonon says like this. Hifrish Chathas Mu'uberes V'yolda. If a person designated an animal for a chatas while it was already pregnant, and then it gave birth. Now, yesterday we talked about chatoris hamesis, and we talked about that one of them is vlad chatas. But that case is where when you originally designated the animal as a korban, it was not yet pregnant, then it became pregnant, and then it gave birth. Then we say the baby is one of the chatoris hamesis. Here, where you were machdish it while it was already pregnant, that din doesn't apply. And Rabbi Yochanan,
when it's
already pregnant, then that din of Hataris HaMesis doesn't apply. Then, Rasa Ba Miskaper, Rasa Bevada Miskaper. Then Rabbi Yochanan says, you're able to use either the mother animal or the baby animal for your kapara. It's not considered Vlad Chatas. So therefore, the parallel case for the Toda would be that both of them can become Todas. So then, and each one would need lechem. Again, unlike the case we talked about yesterday with Vlad Toda, where you said you don't bring bread with it, that was, we were talking about where the animal became pregnant after you designated it as a Toda. So then we said, you're able, well, we didn't specify, but that's what it is. In other words, the Gemara actually, for purposes of discussion, the Gemara doesn't yet know what we mentioned yesterday, that Rabbi Yochanan holds Odom Miskapa, the Shva Hefdish, that you're able to take that baby animal, even though it was born after the animal was already Hefdish, and use it for your korban, use it to be yotzi your chayv. The Gemara doesn't know that point yet. So right now we're assuming that even if you designated the animal when it's already pregnant, we would
not knowing it.
No, you knew that it was pregnant, let's say. The point is, it sounds like maybe Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you're able to designate the baby as something else. The baby, to that extent, usually, we often say in halacha, uber yerech imayhu, that an unborn baby is considered like a limb of the mother. Now, for example, you obviously can't say, let's say, I'm going to bring this animal as a chatos except for its leg. You can't do that. So if we say uber yerech imayhu, then you wouldn't be able to do that with an unborn baby either. But if we say over lav yerach imayhi, if we say the baby is considered an independent thing, then you could. You have a pregnant animal. You could say, I intend to bring the mother as a chassas and the baby after it's born as some other person. If we assume that that's what Rabbi Yochanan means.
Can you say throughout the pregnancy or is it a certain time?
No, Rabbi Yochanan, you can say it any time. So if we say that when a person has a chassas, when a person designates an animal for a chassas that's already pregnant, the yolda, and then later it gives birth, rosa ba miskaper, rosa bevlada miskaper, then Rabbi Yochanan would say that he's able to use either one to be yotze his chatas, which then applying that rule to toda would mean that each of them individually is a toda, is able to be a toda. Well, then we have a possibility. Laisi behema moveris, let the person bring an animal that's pregnant, the yamtin larger tailored, wait until it gives birth, the light is shmoin and bada, bring 80 loaves of bread, the lema, and then make the tnai as follows. E hach the kaima tmurah, if the animal that's alive from the original set is the tmurah, ha uvlada toidehi, then I'm bringing the mother animal and the baby animal as toidet, v'hashmonim b'tavayu, and then I'm bringing 80 loaves, because each one needs its own 40 loaves. Mind you, you wouldn't be able to bring them both on one day, because you have a problem with oisiv espinoz. But okay, which we'll learn about colon. It would mean, in other words, that you bring, let's say, the mother animal and one of the animals today, and the baby the next day, whatever, anyway. The e has to kind of toidehi, and if the original animal that's alive is the toida, honami toidehi, then I'm bringing the mother animal as, or the baby animal, as a toida, and now I have two toidas, and these 80 loaves of bread will go for those two, for the original animal and one of the animals from the new set. The Isla having moisted the toida, and the other one will remain as a moisture. So and that would be a real moisture. That wouldn't be Rebbe's problem before Makrish and Chilil the moisture, because you're not. However, Rav Kahana says, yes, but that depends on what the reason behind Rabbi Yochanan's din is. Man leimalon de Amar Rabbi Yochanan im shiro im mishuyer. Who says that Rabbi Yochanan's reason why he says that in the case of in such a case for the chatas you could bring either one as a korban, that you're arguing the reason is because he holds that if you wanted you could have designated the baby animal as a different korban of its own. We would say that the baby is considered a different entity than the mother. Maybe that's not the reason. Maybe you can say that once you designate the mother and the baby is already in her womb, the baby automatically becomes kaddish for the one carbon. So therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan says that you can bring, you can use either one for your chatas, he means, in other words, you, Rav Ashi, were thinking that what Rabbi Yochanan meant is you could use either one for your chassas, but you could also, let's say, use the mother as a chassas and the baby as a shlom. Maybe that's not what Rabbi Yochanan means. All he means is that both of them are, Rabbi Yochanan means is that both of them were originally designated as a chassas. In the end, you can use either one of them as your chassas. The other one probably would become a chassas amesa, but I don't know. But the point is that at least you could say that he is yoyse his chassas with the second one, not because he could have chosen whatever korban he wants to be, but because it became a chassas automatically as soon as he designated the mother. Behind her time of the Rabbi Yochanan, so then why would Rabbi Yochanan be saying that you're able to bring either one, that you're able to bring either one of the chassas, or in the case of a toda, that you can bring either one of the toda? The reason would be, like we said yesterday, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're able to use the shvach hektish, you're able to use the additional thing that came into existence after it was declared hektish, you're able to use that for your curve. So in that case, if we understand Rabbi Yochanan that way, then it would mean that you can't. Your way, Rav Ashi, of bringing a pregnant animal, waiting until it gives birth, etc., is not going to work because then ultimately what you're going to have is both of those animals are not going to be chayiv and lacha. One of them is going to be the baby is going to be moisa, or whichever one you offer second is going to be the moisa toida. Doesn't need lacha. You want to say, Rav Ashi, that you have a way of making it that both of them are going to be chayiv and lacha, and therefore that you have a way out of it. But that only works if you understand Rabbi Yochanan to be saying that each one is an independent toida. But if you say the second one is a moiser of the first one, then it doesn't work.
Yeah, in other words, the second one is a chassas also.
Well, in the case of a chassas, it would mean the second one is automatically a chassas also, and in the case of a toida, it would mean the second one is automatically a toida also, and therefore it becomes a moiser toida. Yeah. So that doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So then it doesn't work. Okay. Fine.
It doesn't work because a moiser.
Because a moiser doesn't come with bread, right? Possibility number 8, Ravina ikla the Damahuria. Ravina visited Damahuria, the name of the city in Babel. Omelet of Dimi Breda of Hunu with Damahuria or Ravina. So, Ravdimi Breda of Hunu who lives in Damahuria asked Ravina, here's another possibility. The Lysi Behema, bring a new animal without lechem. The Lema Hare Olai, say on this one, now remember, the whole situation was, we said the original one was Hare Zu. You said the obligation is on the animal, not on the person. This animal. Now let's say you should bring a new animal. Say, Hare Olai, I am obligating myself to bring a toda. The Lysi Behem Achrit. Yes. The Lysi Behem Achrit. Then he brings a third animal as a Achrayus. The Lysi Shmonim Bahadah. Bring 80 Chalas with it. the lema and say as follows. Ihak the taima, if the original animal that's around Tmurahi was the Tmura, Hani Tauti Todas, and the two new animals I just brought will be Todas, Bahashmonim the Tabai, and the 80s talus that I brought will go 40 for one and 40 for the other. The Ihak the taima Todahi. And if the original animal that's alive is a Toda, Vahod Amri Alai Nami Lahabi Toda, then Vahod Amri Alai Nami Lahabi Toda, then the second one about which I said Hare Alai, and then I designated a second animal, will also be a Toda. Vahashman and Kabayu, then we have 80 Chalas, 40 for the original animal, 40 for the second one. The Idach Tabi Lachrayas, and the third one will be for Achrayas. So in that case, it seems to work because. So in that case,
three animals.
You have the original animal that's left over from the original one. You have a second one on which you said Hare Olai, and you have a third one. So now what you're going
to
say is,
you lost the condition.
So either, right, so what you're going to say is either the first one is not a Toja, it's a Tmura, and the two new ones are Toidas, and then we have 80 loaves of them,
right.
Or the original one is a Toja, and the second animal will also be a Toja, and the third one will be a Chayas for it. We'll be back.
You also have 80 loaves.
Well, that means you have 40 for the original one and 40 for the second one, yeah. Yeah. Amalei, so Ravina answers, I don't understand. Torah Omra, the Torah says, it's actually a pasuk in Kohelet, Torah Basher Leitidur, Mishakidur Veloit Shalim, better that you should not make a neder, rather than you make a neder and don't pay, which the Gemara explains elsewhere. We learned it in Nedarim, yes. The Gemara explains what it means is, that you're really not supposed to say Hare Olai. Because the problem with saying Hare Olai is what happens if the animal that you designated does get lost or whatever, and then you're going to figure, you know what, I can't be bothered, I can't afford it. And then you're going to be over on your nether. So you're not supposed to do that. So you're not supposed to do that. The Ash Amrit Lekum Melinda Bechila. You're telling me that as a Bechila Dikat thing, you could go and make such a nether Hare Olai. If you're going to make a nether for a korban, at least do Hare Zu. So that way there's no Achrai. To say Hare Olai to begin with, just in order to fix up the situation over here, you shouldn't be doing. That's the problem. That's the problem, Ravina says. So therefore, your solution is not going to work because then you're going to be over on this thing that the Chachamim are telling you, that Shloimeh Malach is telling you, don't be saying Hare Olai. So that's it. So therefore we're left with what Rukhiya said originally, that there is no Chachamim. You're going to have to leave it to graze until it develops the mum, and then what happens afterwards, what you do with the money afterwards, is what the Rambam and the Raivid and the Achronim who discussed the Raivid discuss what exactly is going to happen. Right. Mishnah says, Ha'oimel Hare Olai Toda. If somebody does say, well, we just said you're not supposed to say Hare Olai, but okay, suppose a person did say, I'm obligated to bring myself to bring a Toda. Yavi Hiva Lachma Minachulim. He has to bring both the Toda itself and the bread that comes along with it from Chulin money, meaning not from Maisa Shein money. Because once he said Hare Olai, he becomes Chayav. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that whenever a person has a Chayav, you have to bring it from your own money. You cannot be bringing it from Maisa Shein. You can use Maisa Sheni money. You take Maisa Sheni money to your shalayim. You use it to buy food and you eat it in your shalayim. You can use it to buy a voluntary korban in your shalayim. In fact, in various places in Shas, it mentions a very common thing to do was to take that money and use it to buy an animal for a shlum. So much so, in fact, Maisa Sheni money, yeah. So you had your produce of Maisa Sheni, you had too much of it to bring to your shalayim, you'd exchange it for cash, you'd take the cash to your shalayim, you would use it, for example, to buy an animal, one or more animals for shlomim, and you'd offer them over there. That you can do, because the shlomim is completely voluntary. So much, and by the way, it's such a common thing to do that you have a Mishnah in Shkolim that says that if you find money in your shalayim in front of cattle dealers, you have to assume that it's Maisa Sheni money. Because most money that would be spent by the cattle dealers to buy cattle for Kavanas would be my decision.
They told you what with it?
Then
buy an animal with it?
So that's the thing. I would buy an animal, bring it to the shlomim, give the relevant parts to the Kohen, the rest of them, they and their families and whoever would eat in your shlomim. Yeah. However, but that only works to be able to, that only works for something that you're not otherwise obligated to. Something that you're obligated anyway to bring, you can't bring from my decision. Here, once he said how they are lying, he's obligated to bring a Toyota.
Toda Schreiber, effectively.
Therefore, he has to bring the whole thing from the whole. What about if he says, Toda Olaim in a Cholin Velachma in a Meiser? What about if he says, I'm putting on myself an obligation to bring a Toda from Cholin, but I want to bring the bread from Meiser from the money? Well, you can't do that. Yavi Hiva Lachem, and Akulin, he has to bring the animal itself and the lechem from Kulin. Because the lechem follows the Torah. Once he said the Torah is Kulin, as soon as he says, I'm going to bring a Torah, then automatically he's chayiv in a Torah, and the bread goes along with it. So when he says Lachem and Amaisa, that doesn't count. As we'll see in the Gemara.
Up to now, did we say that the lechem has the same nature, the same origin as the Torah?
No, but what it is we did discuss previously. We did discuss previously that a Torah automatically implies lechem.
Yes.
So therefore,
not necessarily from the same origin.
No, but the point is, as soon as he says Torah alignment apolin, automatically he's obligated to bring both a Torah and lechem. But now, when he says lechem and amaisa, it's too late for him to say that. So he has to bring them both in full. Todim and a mice of a lachem and a chulin. But what if he says, I want to bring a toda from mice of shame? Which fine, he can do that because he's not saying that he's able to do. That he's able to do because it's not a choiv on him yet. If he had said harei alive, then it would become a choiv on him. Like this one, to begin with, he says, I'm bringing a toda only if I can bring it from mice. Fine, that's a valid thing to do. Same way as you can bring a shlum in from mice, you can bring a toda from mice. The lachem in a chulin, and I intend to bring the bread from chulin. Yavi, then he's able to do that. Well, he could do them both from chulin, right? Yeah, I mean, if he wants to bring them both from chulin, obviously he can do that. But the chiddush is that he is able to bring a toda from mice.
Because
not a choiv, right? He the lachem and amaisa. Also, if he says, I'm making a neder that I will bring a toda and the bread with it from maisa. Also, yavi. Also, he can do that. The lo yavi mechiti maisa sheni. However, he can't bring the bread from wheat of maisa sheni for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. Elamimos Maisa Sheni, he would have to buy the bread or the wheat or the flour or whatever for the bread using money of Maisa Sheni. He can't take actual wheat of Maisa Sheni that he brought from his crop to Yerushalayim and use that for the bread of the Torah. Even if he said Torah of Alachnam and Amaiser, he'd have to exchange it for money outside Yerushalayim and then take that money to Yerushalayim and use it to buy.
What happens? It's worth nothing.
There's no olai. Once he said olai, then he's chayav. So, but if he says to begin with, toda min amaisa, or toda v'lachna min amaisa, then that works. Okay. So the Gemara starts. Omer Rabbana, ha'omer harei olai lachmei toda. Suppose a person doesn't mention the toda at all. If a person only mentions that I am obligating myself to bring bread of a toda, maybe toda v'lachna, that he's obligated to bring a toda as well as the bread. My time, and why is that? Made a yada I gather the lechem below toda leitzriv. The person has to know that there's no bringing bread without an actual toda. Made a yada I gather. This person has to know. We expect them to know that there's no such thing as bringing bread without a toda. The high toda of a lechem farmer. So really, in that case, what he means is that he's going to bring a toda and bread. The high become a lachmei toda. So why did he only mention the bread? So it's not because he just mentioned the second part of it, but implicitly he means the first part as well. So usually you mention the toda first and then the lechem, but in this case he mentioned only the lechem. Implicitly it means he meant a toda as well.
We assume that he meant the toda also.
Yeah. Okay, so Tanan, let's see our Mishnah and see if that fits with what Rav Huna is saying. Todim and a Meiser v'lachem and a Cholin. He said, if he says, I'm making a neder that I'll bring a Todim from Meiser and the bread from Cholin, Yobi Kamash and Nader. We said he's able to bring, as he was Nader, he's able to bring the Todim itself from Meiser Sheni money and then bring the lachem from Cholin, but he has to bring the lachem from Cholin. So the question is, Amai. Now, why, according to Rav Huna's logic, why should he be able to bring the Torah from Maisa? Given to Amal Lachlam and Acholin, as soon as he said the second part, that I'm bringing the Lechem from Cholin, Yavi Hiva Lachlam and Acholin. By Rav Huna's logic, once he says Lechem, then that includes the Torah as well, because you don't have Lechem without a Torah. So therefore, implicitly, that means that it means that he meant everything to come from Cholin. The answer is
China.
Yeah, of course, it seems to be parallel to Rav Huna's case. Okay, but the answer is shining chasam. No, but it's different over there. Kivan da'ama todim and a meiser, because since he did explicitly before that say that he wants to bring the todim from meiser, nasa to omer, it's the equivalent of saying, harei alai lechem lister todasei shoplein. It's the equivalent of saying that I am obligating myself out of my own pocket, I will bring bread to pater somebody else's todim. In other words, when is Rav Huna saying that if a person says, Harei Allah lach my Torah, he has to bring everything, that would be if he needs to bring it all as his own Torah. But you could have, for example, he says, I have a friend who I know needs to bring a Torah, but I know that he can't afford the bread for it, so I'm going to voluntarily give him the money for bread. That works. Then he can do that. He can bring bread along with the other guy's Torah. So therefore, in this case, if he said, he volunteers his own bread to go for the other one's Torah. And that works. And that works. But if he only said, Harei Allah lach my Torah, then he would be obligated.
Goy
couldn't do that. We're not talking about Goy. We're talking about, no, Goy we talked about before, what korbanos he can bring anyway. He said in the end he can only bring an Orba. So if he says, Torah min amaisa v'lach min acholin, effectively what he says, it amounts to saying, the Torah I'm not taking financial responsibility for. That's going to be out of my possession. The lechem, it's as if this is a Torah that belongs to somebody else. It's a my possession, and he doesn't really belong to me. It belongs to Hashem. And therefore, I'm bringing lechem together with that Torah that belongs to somebody else. So that works. Okay, so the question is, Yehochi Reisha. Okay, but then what about the first part of the Mishnah? We said if he says the other way around, the Torah I intend to bring from Cholin, the bread I want to bring from Meister, then he can't do that. Yavi Hiva Lachum and Acholin, he has to bring them both from Cholin. Hochanami, because the bread follows the Torah. Hochanami, why don't we say the same thing over here? Nasa Ka'oma Harela Torah Lister Lachmash or Plaini. Why don't we say the same thing? It's the equivalent of saying that Plaini has bread that he intends to bring for a toga, but he can't afford an animal. So I'm going to give him an animal that he can go together with his bread for a toga. If you can say that, if Reuben is bringing a toga and Shimon can say, fine, I'll share with you, I'll bring lechem for you, why shouldn't it work the other way around also? That Reuben can be bringing bread and Shimon can say, I'll join in with you and bring... No, never mind. What do you mean, taking from
Hegdesh? One is Hegdesh, the other one should be Hegdesh.
If we're saying that once Reuven is bringing a Torah, Shimon is able to tell him, you know what, I'll help you with that, I'll share with you by bringing the Lechem, then shouldn't we be able to say the other way around as well? If Reuven says, I'm going to bring Lechem for a Torah, but I can't afford the animal for the Torah, why shouldn't Shimon be able to say, I'm going to bring an animal? Okay, the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta. What kind of a comparison do you think that is? Mishleim Lechem Lemifter Torah. The fact is, lechem comes to pass to the Torah. The lechem is the secondary thing to the Torah. Torah mitzvah lechem yasya. The Torah doesn't come to pass to the bread. There's no such thing as bread by itself. We said yesterday or the day before, lechem glau Torah, vein Torah glau lechem. That the lechem it comes as it's because of the Torah, not vice versa. So therefore, there's no such thing where Reuven says I can afford bread for the Torah, and Shimon says fine, I'll join in with you, bring the animal. That doesn't work. It would have to be the other way around. What do you mean for somebody else? If Shimon wants to say, I'm going to bring an animal, and Levi wants to say, Shimon, I'll join in with you, I'll bring lechem, that works. But it has to be that. So it has to be that. He said the animal first. Okay, so therefore, so that's no contradiction against Rav Huna, because yes, there's a difference between designating the animal first versus the lechem first. Tashma. Ha'omer harei alai toida b'loi lechem v'zevach b'loi nisachim. Suppose a person says, I am making a neder that I'm obligating myself to bring a toda, but without bread, or I'm obligating myself to bring a zebach, some other korban, below nesachim, without nesachim. It doesn't work. Kofin oso, we compel him, we force him, or maybe toda v'lachma, or zebach on nesachim. Now, but taima de omar. Now, apparently, the reason why it doesn't work, the reason why it doesn't work is because he said. He said, I'm going to bring a toida, but I'm not going to bring the lechem. Ava loy omar toida, but apparently if he didn't say the word toida, if he just said I'm going to bring lechem, if he says I'm bringing the toida without lechem, because he said the word toida, but it sounds like if he didn't say the word toida, loy, then we're not going to force him, so that goes against what Rav Huna is saying. Rav Huna is saying just the fact that he said lechem obligates him in a toida. Why? According to this bright, it seems only if he said Torah is he obligated. The answer is no. Who are doing Afagab the Loyama Toida? No, because the Braisa may mean even if he didn't actually say the word Toida, even if he only said, I'm going to bring Lachem, like Rav Huna said, I need to come boy the Misna Zevach Beloy Nesachim. Now, the Braisa had wanted to mention the case of Zevach Beloy Nesachim. Zoloy Masna Beloy Nesachim Beloy Zevach. Now, it couldn't have said the other way around, that if he says Nesachim without a Zevach, because there's no such thing. A person can make a neder to bring wine or mincha or whatever by itself. We're going to learn later. We're going to learn towards the end of the session. So you can't say. So you can say. So the Braisa could say that if he said zebach and not nesachim, we force him to bring the nesachim. It couldn't have said the converse, that if he says nesachim without zebach, we force him to bring a zebach, because we don't.
Because
he can bring nesachim by himself, right? Therefore, when it came to the Toda and the Lechem, the Braisa used the same expression, even though in the case of a Toda and a Lechem, it's bidirectional. If he says Toda without Lechem, or like Rav Huna says, if he says Lechem without Toda, either way you have to bring the whole thing. The reason why the Braisa didn't spell that out is because that wouldn't be the case with Zevach and Nesachim.
Because you cannot bring lechem by itself.
Because you can't bring lechem by itself, and therefore, Rav Huna says, when he mentioned lechem, given that you can't bring it by itself, it amounts to saying half of the statement. It automatically assumes that it includes toda as well, right? On the other hand, with zevach and nesachim, it's not quite like that. Okay. By the way, Tosfos brings up a point over here, earlier on the Mishnah, actually, that you could argue that on the face of it, maybe when he said that I'm going to bring one part from Kulin and the other part from Meiser, maybe it amounts to that he changed his mind. Tosfos and Ibra, a person can change his mind. The Tosfos says, are you sure over here that no, when it comes to Kodshim, there's no such thing as Tosfos and Ibra. Well, Tosfos actually refers to a Gemara in Nedarim that says so, in a couple of other things. But one of them actually is Hektish. But Achronim discussed back and forth why that should be so. I mean, Taka, with most things, if you change your mind, Tosfos and Ibra, even you gave somebody something intending to give it to him as a present or whatever, and then you change your mind, Tosfos and Ibra, you're able to. Why should it be any different with Hektish? So there's a number.
For Kodshim, Tosfos says?
That doesn't work. So the question is, why not?
Not all Hektish.
No, any Hektish. That's what we're talking about. So we have a number of different explanations that Acharonim bring. The Kosef HaShulchan, I think it is, says that the idea is the reason why usually you're able to change your mind is because you need two different things with a kinyan. You need that you're giving it, and you need, there needs to be a giving, and there needs to be a machshava that goes along with it. So if you change your mind, then you're lacking one of them, therefore it's not a valid giving. When it comes to Kodshin, where you have the concept, Tosfos mentioned the idea, Amirosi L'Gavoya, Kinsirosi L'Hedyach, as soon as you say that you're going to give something to Hashem, it's the equivalent of having given it over already. Therefore, even if you change your mind, it's too late already.
Using the term Kodshin and Hedyach interchangeably.
Yeah, so that's...
Are we talking about Kodshin or are we talking about general Hedyach?
Hektish meaning donating something to Hashem for the Beis Mikdash, whether it's Kodshin Bedek Abayis, whether it's Kodshin Mizbeach, doesn't matter. With that said, though, so Achronim talk about, I think actually the Kosos himself says, that it would be different when we're talking about the kind of hektish that we do nowadays, to a shul or to a niyim or whatever. That doesn't necessarily, well, to a shul maybe, yeah, but to a niyim, for example, doesn't necessarily have the same status of Amudot or Gavoya, Kimsidot or Lahedya. Not so much because there's no Beit Mikdash, but because saying that something is hektish, that you're going to give it to Tzedakah, to a niyim, is not exactly the same kind of thing as saying I'm going to give it to the Beit Mikdash. They have somewhat different deeds. Okay, so there it might pack a word. To change his mind. Right. Okay, fine. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Amai, now let's ask a general question. Now that we establish, okay, we seem to have settled Rav Huna's din, that if he says, I'm going to bring Lechem, then automatically he has to bring a Toida, and there's no contradiction here from our Mishnah, and there's no contradiction from the Brat. Okay, we have to ask a more general question, the Gemara asks. When we're saying, in this case that we just said, a person says, I'm going to bring a Toda without Lechem, Amai, why should we force him to bring both? Neder or Pischehu, Imahu. On the face of it, it's a neder that has a Pesach together with it. Once he said, when he says, B'toshkere Dibur, B'loy Lechem, that means he changed his mind. Because he knows there's no such thing as Toda without Lechem, so therefore it amounts to saying that he changed his mind. Or Miyuchas Rashi says another explanation of neder of Pesach means that if a person were to go to Beis Din to be matir neder, he would have a built-in Pesach over there. I thought that I could bring a Torah without lechem, that's why I made the neder the way I did. Now that you're telling me that no, a Torah necessarily becomes involved lechem, then I want to be matir neder. I wouldn't have made the neder in the first place, and that works. Yeah, even for Hekdesh, a person can be matir neder. Yeah. The answer is Amachizkiyu Hamani Beis Shaman. So Chizkiyu says, the answer is, we would say that this Braita we just quoted, that if he says, I'm going to bring a Toda, he has to bring the Toda and the Lachem, would be according to Beis Shaman. So Amri Tzfoy Sloshin Rishin, where Beis Shaman holds that when a person says it like that, a person says something like that, you go according to the first Loshin, you he can't modify it using a later state. No, if he's Matir Neder, that's different. But first Loshin Rishon, we don't automatically say that if the second thing cancels out the first one, that automatically should cancel it. Okay. So then if we're talking about to be Matir Neder, fine. If he goes to base and be Matir Neder, he has a Pesach. The truth is there's something else also, which is that the Shammai also holds Hektish Betoos is Hektish. The Shammai holds no such thing as a mistake when it comes to declaring something Hektish. That's a separate matter. But yeah, we're talking about anyway. If we're saying that the Neder has automatically been cancelled by the continuation of the statement, the Shammai doesn't hold it. As we learn in a Mishnah in Nazir, Hareini Nazir min Agrogrisim in Advela. Suppose a person says, I'm a Nazir. Now, what's a real Nazir? Is he a Nazir from wine and becoming Tamil Ameth and cutting his hair? But he says, I'm going to be a Nazir from dried figs or from dried dates. Beshamar im Nazir. Beshamar says, nevertheless, he's a Nazir. Because as soon as he said, Hareini Nazir, then he's a Nazir. And you ignore the min Agrogrisim in Advela. That's not it means he's a Nazir, a regular Nazir from wine. Gevela is dry, is a cake of dry, of a pressed together date. Anyway, so Beshamah ain't a Nazir, or Beshillah ain't a Nazir. Beshillah says he's not a Nazir, because again, it's a Nedir of his Chayim. Automatically, when he said, Hareini Nazir, and immediately afterwards, Beshillah could have he said, Min Agrogris, Min Agvela, then it amounts to undoing what he just said. So therefore, we would say that the Braita about Toda Beloy Lachem would be according to Beshamah.
Dibra.
Okay, Rabbi Yechanan says you don't need that. Afilu Chema Beisilol. You could even say that the Braita goes according to Beisilol. What it means is, but the case is that he's saying like this, Ilu Hayisi Yodea She'ein Nodrin Kach, if I had known that there's no such thing as a neder like that, and if I had known that there's no such thing as a toda without lechem, Loi Hayisi Nodrin Kach, then I would not have made the neder the way I did. Ela Kach, rather I would have made the neder in the proper way, the toda with the lechem. So therefore, my kofin, so what do we mean when we say that we compel him, if he intends to bring everything, means the kaboy hodabay, if after that, he says, you know what, I changed my mind on that. In other words, the Braisa would be talking about those three stages. He started by saying, I want to bring a toda without lechem. Then he finds out that there's no such thing as a toda without lechem. So he says, you know what, if I'd known that, I would have said I'll bring a toda with lechem. Now, if after saying that, he wants to say, you know what, I'm second thought, or I'm third thought, whatever, forget about it, I don't want to bring the thing at all. If I can't bring it without lechem, then I don't want to bring it at all. At that point, Kofin, on the basis of his second statement, since he himself said, I would have made the neder the right way if I had known that that's how you make it, then we hold him to that.
And we don't accept the second
thing. And we don't accept the second thing, right? Or we accept the second thing, we don't accept the third thing. Okay, so that would work. So according to Beshamah,
you cannot change his mind twice.
Basically, once he clarified and said the only reason I made a wrong kind of neder is because I didn't know that that's a wrong kind of neder, and he clarifies and he says I would have made the right kind of neder. So even though he didn't say in so many words, I'm making a new neder to that effect, it amounts to that he made a new neder to that effect. Therefore, he can't proceed. Right. Okay. So we could say that that Beraita goes according to Beshamah. Fine. Toshma, Ha'oimer Harei. What? So we don't have to say, like Chizkiya said, that it's according to Beis Shammai. Okay, but Toshma, but come let's prove from another Braisa, which spells it out a little more. Ha'oimah harei toda b'lechem nezevach b'lenisachim. If somebody says, I obligate myself on a toda without bread or a zevach without nesachim, but omru loy, and they tell him, you can't do that. Ha'oimah toda b'lechem nezevach b'lenisachim. You have to bring a toda with lechem. You have to bring a korban with nesachim. But Omer, and he says, Ilu ha'yisi yadesh kein loy ha'yisi noyder. And he says, but if I'd known that, I would have never have made the neder in the first place. Nevertheless, Kofino, so we compel him to fulfill the neder properly, the omim lo, and we tell him, with an expression of the pasuk, shmur v'shamaita, guard it and listen to it, which we'll explain, the Gemara will explain in a couple of minutes, in a couple of lines, what that expression means.
So
the question is just different than what we said, the shleim l'chizkiya nichale, that works out according to Chizkiya. The earlier braita was according to Beit Shammai. This braita is also according to Beit Shammai, because it's Moshe Nishin. He said originally, it's his original thing, so even though he says afterwards, I didn't know that that's not a valid neder, it doesn't matter. Not only holds like the Shammai, but he says these two braitas go like the Shammai. They're not necessarily the final halacha. El a little Yechanan Kasha, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, it's a Kasha, because he said the first braita goes according to Beit Hillel, and it's only in the case where he said, I would have made the neder the proper way if I'd known. And whereas in this last braita, he says that I wouldn't have made the neder at all, and yet we say Kosin. Okay, so Rabbi Yechanan says, of necessity, you're right, that second braita has to be according to Beit Shammai. The first one could be according to Beit Hillel, and explain it in the way that I did, that it's talking about that he said, I would have made the neder properly, and now he wants to change his mind from that. The last braisa that says, even if he says, I wouldn't have made the neder in the first place, has to go like the Shammai says. Okay. My shmur v'shamai, so what do we mean, the expression that we tell him, it's a loshen apostle from Parshas Re'eh, guard and listen. Amar Abaya, it means like that. Shmur means hobe toita. The word shmur, guard, and it's called shmur v'shamai, it's called barnaim. But what does it mean in our context? So Abaya says, shmur means hove toida. Guard what you said by bringing the toida, like you're supposed to. The shamata, and what does it mean, listen, means hove lachma, means bring the bread with it also, even though you thought you didn't need to, but nevertheless, listen to the people who are telling you that you have to bring bread with it and do that. Okay. Rava Omar, Rava says, no, shmur means hove toida v'lachma. The Shemaita, when he continues, the Shemaita, you should listen, means listen in the future, shall I say, hey, Roger Lassus came. Don't be in the habit of doing such a thing in the future of making a neder of a toda without lechem, because there's no such thing. So those are the two different ways of explaining what the Braita meant with the expression. The Satemeth says that maybe Abaya and Rava are arguing over the basic point, is the lechem part of his original neder, is considered part of his original neder, or is it something extra that's imposed on him because there's no such thing as a toda without lechem? So Abaya can be taking the view that something extra imposed on him, we can use the word v'shamata for it. Whereas Rava can say it's part of the original neder, therefore v'shamata must refer to something else, don't use it the thing in the future. Either way, it would mean you have to bring the Torah down the lechem as a practical matter.